The Lord be with you.
And
with a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this at the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Raise your hand if you know this historical figure I'm going to name. Okay, so just raise your hand if you know her. Carrie Nation. She's only a few. And old people. Yeah, we studied Carrie back in school. She was a person who was fighting for temperance. She wanted to get rid of all alcohol. And she had a little hatchet. She would go into bars and smash them up. And she did this until she died in 1911, but she had a very bad marriage due to alcoholism, and she didn't want that to happen to anybody else. Now, of course, the bartenders didn't like her, and she would sometimes stand outside of bars, and as people came out, she'd start singing Christian hymns or kind of yelling at people. But she was very firm on her convictions. Now, when people said to her, "Carrie, but Jesus drank wine," and, of course, she and others would say, "No, that was grape juice." It was grape juice. They really believed that. Now, I submit to you that grape juice is not going to fuel a Jewish wedding celebration. Ain't going to cut it. We're talking about real wine, real spirits. And Jesus certainly would have partaken of those spirits. And, you know, people will say that Jewish wedding celebrations can go on for days. So people are really enjoying themselves. You have to have good wine. So it's interesting that Jesus' first miracle, he could have done anything, but he makes great wine. Isn't that interesting? And of course, you know, we would say, well, he was a good Catholic because he liked his booze, his alcohol. He liked conviviality. He knew that this could lighten up and give joy to people. And of course, in moderation, it does. And so Jesus participated in that. So making wine, but also making wine at a wedding celebration, that's key, because it kind of tells us what Jesus is aiming for. And we hear what's being aimed for even in the Old Testament. We talk about God as the groom and the people of God, the church, as the bride. So God's inviting us into a marriage. And the wedding feast of heaven is going to be beyond anything we can imagine in this life. So we're getting a glimpse of what God wants for all of us. So we have this great, great miracle. So if you think of it again, I don't think I've ever been to any kind of wedding celebration where people were just sitting there, no music, no drinks, no nothing, and just not saying anything. There's laughter, people going from table to table, there's dancing. It's a real banquet. It's a real party. So if we put our thinking caps on and says, well, that's got to be something like heaven then, that it's a big celebration where there's joy. And that word in particular, joy, These wedding celebrations are joyful. That's what God wants for all of us. He wants us to know his joy, which is incredible. It's always there. We can always take part in it. It's like those huge stone jars filled with great wine. You know, it's always full. It's never empty. So God wants us to participate in them. So if God wants that for us, we also have to continue on with that thought. He wants it for everybody, right? And not just, you know, pie in the sky in the world to come, but now we're supposed to be living that joy and sharing that joy, taking that great wine, so to speak, out into the world so other people can know joy, can know that companionship, conviviality, that partying flavor where everybody's a friend and everybody's joining in together in the jokes and the singing and the good food. Right now, God wants that for us as well. And I think probably most of us have access to that kind of life, joy, but as we know, many people don't. Now, Paul talks about a way in which we can bring joy to others. And again, I don't think as Catholics we really spend enough time with what Paul talks about when he's talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, they're kind of, yeah, or that's, I've never seen that, or I can't do that, whatever. And yet Paul's saying God gives all of us gifts, charisms, specific gifts, specific charisms. You notice that one of them was healing. You know, it's not just for priests or bishops or doctors. It's for everybody. Everybody has access to these gifts. Now, we don't get all of them, but what we're supposed to be doing is finding out what are the gifts God has given us and to work on them, to practice them. So it may very well be that one of you has, or maybe more, has a gift of healing. Okay, real healing. Maybe it's physical healing. You can heal someone who's deaf. Perhaps spiritual healing. Heal the wounds that have cropped up through abuse, perhaps. Mental illness healing. These are real healing powers that God gives to people. And we're not excluded. God wants everybody to know he has gifts for them, and it's up to us to use them. So can you imagine what would happen if, let's say, we have this gift of healing, and there is a person who's not only deaf, but they can't speak, and you and maybe some others lay hands on them and pray for their healing, and suddenly their ears are open, they can hear. Can you imagine the joy of that person when they get their hearing and they can suddenly speak? Can you imagine the joy? Just like a wedding celebration, there's joy, and this person is not going to keep their mouth shut. You can be sure of that. They're going to run around and say, hey, look what happened to me. And then they're going to tell other people, and then what's going to happen is people are going to come to the healers. They're going to say, I want this healing. I want to be healed. Now, it's not happening, obviously, here. It should be. Really, it should be. But what are we doing then? What are we going to do to claim those gifts that God gives us so that just as we are given joy from God, we can pass on that joy using the gifts of the Holy Spirit that each of us is endowed with? And there are many ways of looking into it. There's an organization called St. Catherine of Siena Institute, where the founder basically focuses on helping people, not just Catholics, but anyone, find out what their gifts might be and how to use them. Interestingly enough, she's a convert. So as an evangelical, she had much more focus on the gifts and the reality of them. But she brings that gift to us and says it's possible to find out what those gifts are and to use them. And then there's other ways as well. But as a community, we're supposed to be helping one another find those gifts that can bring joy to the world, to encourage one another, to challenge one another, to say, okay, you got a gift, I got a gift, we don't know what those gifts are, let's work on it. Let's kind of brainstorm. What are we good at? How might that tell us what kind of a gift God has given us? And then how might I practice using it to see indeed if that is the gift I'm supposed to focus on? It's not rocket science, but it does take time, it does take effort, and it takes a community of believers who still believe in miracles, and we do. We believe in miracles. Jesus worked a miracle making great wine. miracles have not stopped. And many more could be happening if we, the faithful, take seriously what Paul's trying to tell us, so that we understand we've been gifted with these gifts and therefore building up the kingdom of God, bringing joy in particular to the world, because people notice joy, right? They notice joy. I notice joyful people. I don't want to be around people like myself. They're always down in the dumps and criticizing people. I want to be with joyful people. I get attracted to that. And that's why joy is so crucial in our faith life. The more joy we show, the more joy we give, the more people will be open to God and come to know God. So the work is all cut out for us. I'm not making it up. It comes from the Old and the New Testament. It's there. But the question is, what are we going to do about it, as always? How are we going to approach it? How are we going to find those gifts so that not only can we continue to enjoy God and enjoy the joy of God, but so that we can take it out into the world? Because you know as well as I do, there is not a lot of joy out there. It's so sad. And yet, we've been given it. You know, it's not just six big stone jars. It's a billion stone jars filled with joy and happiness and delight. But are we going to those jars and taking those gifts, using them, and sharing them with others? It's a wonderful challenge, and one that we got to find ways of using, following through on, because we all need joy. You know that, I know that. So let's pray as we are nourished by our readings, which tell us about joy and God's plan for us, as we're nourished by God's very flesh, which is the perfect food, no matter what kind of celebration we're celebrating, as we are nourished by those things, let's remember they're given to us so that we can go forth and proclaim the good news of salvation, to develop our gifts and bring the gifts of God to the world, a world that's very much in need of it, waiting for us to bring that light of Christ, that joy of Christ, into a world where there's so much darkness and despair.